Women have been gathering in circles for centuries, even in the most suppressive communities, to find physical and emotional shelter, lift each other, and share the powerful feminine energy. In this podcast, we are going to rediscover what happens when women come together, bringing in their authentic, creative, nurturing selves. In other words, this podcast is dedicated to the magical places, also known as women's circles. Hello, beautiful friends and strangers, and welcome to the sixth episode of... Well, actually, that depends. If you are listening this episode from Flowing with the Sky Clock podcast, then it's the sixth episode of that show. But if you are following us on Women's Circle Institute podcast, then it's the sixth episode of that podcast. And that's completely and absolutely coincidental. It happens that both of those podcasts are now on episode 5. So I'm releasing episode 6 on both platforms. And that's because I think the topic that I'm going to discuss today or share with you information about is as relevant for our listeners who are interested in women's circles and also what to do within your women's circle community, as it is going to be interesting to my listeners from Flowing with the Sky Clock podcast, where we are trying to align ourselves with natural and astrological rhythms to kind of navigate this crazy adventure called life in the best way possible. So regardless where you are, this is episode 6 and it's a crossover. I don't even know if you call it like this. I'm basically recording this for both podcasts. Not sure if that's a crossover, but let's call it like this for the sake of simplicity, especially simplicity for me. So this episode is also... It might sound a tiny bit chaotic because I have decided to do it with minimum preparation. I usually don't have a script that is very detailed, but this time I really don't have a script. This time I really wanted to record it and release it on 21st of December because today we are celebrating winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere. So that was my push, my motivation. And there is also an additional reason for that, which I will reveal while I will discuss one of the alternatives to New Year's resolution. But if I don't make sense at certain points, then I am deeply, deeply sorry. And I hope that you will find something inspiring, valuable, or maybe even just funny in this episode. All right, so let's start with the actual topic of New Year's resolutions. So I'm one of those people that have tried it years ago and never really managed to uphold them for a long time. At one point, me and Marta, who is my co-host on Women's Circle Institute podcast, we even created an event where we were telling people why New Year resolutions sucks and what can they do instead. However, those were not necessarily spiritual tools. They were more practical ones. But the problem with the New Year's resolution is that they are mainly a tradition and that we are kind of feel forced, not by others, but there is a kind of a pressure to come up with something. And many times they don't come from a need of change, but they come from a custom. And even if there is a need for change, we might not be in the right mindset to accelerate that change. So that's one of the reasons why they usually suck. The other one is that 31st of December has literally no meaning. In any of the religions, it has no meaning astrologically, astronomically. It's just a day. It's something that happened after solstice and after Christmas. And then the next day we have an agreement that 1st of January is the beginning of the year, but that's the agreement that is based on the Gregorian calendar. So we don't really celebrate anything else. There is nothing behind it. For example, many people would argue that today could be the beginning of the new year. And there are some groups, subcultures, religions that actually treat today as the beginning of the new year. And there is a very, very simple reason for that. 21st of December, winter solstice, is the time in the Northern Hemisphere when we deal with the longest night and the shortest day. But we know that the day after, the light will start to win over the darkness. And although we will have a very long way to the spring equinox when they will equalize themselves, an even longer way for summer solstice to come and the day be the longest over the shortest night, today, symbolically, we are dealing with the darkest of the dark, the coldest of the cold, and the next day is when the light has won. So this actually could be an absolutely beautiful start of a new year. This could be the eve of the new year. Instead of that, we have 31st of December. We could also choose another day. For example, I think a brilliant day, and that is still celebrated in some subcultures. I think people that are especially connected with Vika and with old paganism, the spring equinox would be the beginning of the year, the beginning of spring, the beginning of life, the beginning of new agriculture year. We are coming back to life. We're starting the new year. Some groups also choose the Samhain, aka Halloween, as the beginning of the year, because this is where the threshold, the veil, because this is where the veil between the night and day, the world of living and dead, is the thinnest. There is a huge symbolism behind that. And I think I mentioned a bit about this in the Scorpio episode on Flowing with the Sky Clock podcast. So that also could be a very good candidate. Instead of that, we are dealing with 31st of December. But even though nothing specific happens, neither in the nature nor at the sky, this day is still extremely potent for creating some sort of resolutions or alternatives to resolutions. And that's because we believe in it. As simple as that. We, the humanity, vast majority of us humans today in this world, will consider 31st of December the last day of the year, and will consider the 1st of January as the first day of the year. And that power of belief and shared consciousness about that day and that threshold is enough to make it powerful, because if we all believe it, it becomes a reality. So I would like to start with saying, do not underestimate the power of the 31st of December, but also do not underestimate the power of the winter solstice and the power of the 24th of December. And we will get to that in a moment. So let's start with the alternatives. And the first alternative I want to share with you is something completely new that I learned of just a couple of days ago. And I am not a pro. I actually am going to start tonight. So let's see how this will go for me. But I think it's extremely interesting, and I think that it really resonates with me. So this is called the 13 Holy Nights, and it's a method. I don't know if I can call it a method or a philosophy or a technique that has been developed by a lady called Lana Day. I might be pronouncing it wrong. And I learned about this from my best friend, Marta. Marta sent me a couple of day a message when she mentions, you know, there is something I found, someone shared it with her, 13 holy nights to set yourself up for the new years, and actually using the power of the winter solstice and power of those days that are leading to the new year. And she mentioned that and she said she's gonna try. And me, the old good skeptic, I was like, oh my God, another thing, another great tool or stuff like this. No, thank you. I'll stick with my own stuff. Yeah, I might be a little bit stubborn sometimes. I'm an Aquarius sun. You will learn about that more New Year when I will do episodes about Aquarius. But it takes me a little bit, especially it's that kind of self-awareness and dialogue with myself when I'm like, okay, stop being a stubborn idiot. Look into it, give it a try. It might actually resonate with you, because my first thought was, no, thank you. Even if it's my best friend and I love her and I trust her, I was still, you know, no, thank you. And yesterday she actually sent me a link to the episode where Lana Day was a guest. I don't remember the name of the podcast. It's something with a guy called Alex. Don't worry. The link is literally in the description of this episode. So you can now start to look at the description wherever you listen and just get to that episode. So forgive me my vague Alex, Lana, and so on. The link is there. So she sent me the link to this podcast. It's quite long. It's 2.5 hours, but they talk about the 13 holy nights only for the first, I would say, first half a podcast. So if you are not interested in the rest, you can, of course, skip it. And the idea is quite simple, although it requires commitment. So that's why I'm also being aware that I want to try, but I might not complete it to the level that it would be great. So the idea is that the 21st of December, as we have just discussed, is a very special day, very potent day, symbolically a day where we are anticipating the light winning over the darkness. And that's the beginning of the entire 13 holy nights. And that's the beginning of the whole process. And then this day after sundown until the 24th of December is serving as a preparation, mental preparation, spiritual preparation for a person that takes part in this technique or this exercise, to try to consciously think and ponder about the new year. What do I want to attract in the new upcoming year? What do I want to achieve? What are my dreams? What would I like to do more of? And that lasts for 3 days, from the sundown of 21st, so actually from right now, until the sundown of 24th of December. 3 days of mindful preparation to the whole process you are going to hopefully join me on. And the examples that she gave were actually really, really good. So for example, she said, if you want to cook more healthy, then you can think about it, but you can also simply start collecting recipes for healthy food. You don't have to start now, but you actually have to do some stuff that would enable you to go on that path. She also gave an example. If you want to meditate more, you might try to buy yourself a meditation pillow within those next 3 days. I will give you an example that I was just thinking about. Literally yesterday, I talked with my colleague and she told me that she's thinking about starting a podcast with her best friend, And I was like, oh my God, yeah, of course, you know, I love podcasts, I'm podcasting, I love everyone who wants to try, because I know it's a fantastic, fantastic thing. So, and I even intuitively recommended her to kind of look at some of the YouTube videos or sources. I told her I will send her some materials, which, by the way, I haven't done yet, so I will just do it after this episode, on how to start, because of course they are now in this brainstorm period, thinking, okay, so what do we want to talk about? How long should the episode be? What kind of style do we want? What topics? Blah, blah, blah. So very, very basic things for podcast. That could be that kind of a preparation. If you want to start a podcast, 21st to 24th of December would be a wonderful opportunity to start to gather information about this, to maybe listen to another podcast about how to start a podcast, or look at some resources online. So this is the time of the preparation of how we want to, and that kind of envisioning on how we want the year to look like for us. And starting from the 24th of December, the sundown, and by sundown, I mean, of course, there is no sun, it's dark, so it's going to be around 4 o'clock where I am right now. There are two things that we do. And maybe just to make it clear, although I really recommend you to listen to that episode, 24th, evening of the 24th, which is actually Christmas Eve, symbolizes the entire upcoming year. The 25th symbolizes the upcoming January. 26th symbolizes February. 27th symbolizes March. 28th symbolizes April, and so on until you get to the December. So that's how you do the 13 nights. The 13 nights starts on 24. And there are two parts of it. The first part is called receiving. And by receiving, Lana means that you should be very mindful and very tuned into what is going on around you. And a very good idea is to get yourself a little notebook and note everything down that happens to you from the 24th evening until the 25th evening, because those could be little clues or suggestions about what's going to happen to you within the next upcoming year. And those could be things like a specific song you heard on the radio, an animal you have seen on a walk, a phone call or a text message from someone that you have not seen for a long time, a surprising news that was unexpected for you. Whatever comes to your mind that happens on that 24 roughly hour period, you note it down. And that's the receiving part. So you are receiving the signals from your environment, call it from universe, that could be useful for you for the whole year. So she actually gave a very interesting example, Lana, in the podcast, when she was talking about her cousin who was doing this exercise. And on the 24th, on the Christmas Eve dinner, he or she, I don't know if the cousin was female or male, I didn't catch that, but he or she noted down in the notebook, everyone is wearing masks. And that was, by the way, Christmas Eve 2019. And what the person meant by this is that they are now on this family dinner and everyone is kind of pretending. And probably some of you have that type of a family dynamic when you gather a lot of people and everyone wants to look good or pretend to like everyone when there are some conflicts. Whatever that is, the observation that the person had and had to note it down was everyone is wearing masks. And it was extremely bizarre because in March 2020, everyone was wearing masks for a very different reason. So even think about that. This is not necessarily the person meant it in a more metaphorical sense. And that thought got downloaded, wrote down on the piece of paper, and then turned out to be the actual situation in 2020 for the whole world. That's kind of eerie, but this is what she means by receiving, because something that happens within, let's say, the first day that symbolizes the whole year might be a premonition or a glimpse into the future or a suggestion. And I love that. I honestly love that. I think it's really cool to note down everything that, you know, attracts your attention. And the second part of the receiving is a work with an oracle cards. So she has published, prepared her own deck. If you don't have oracle cards by that lady, which I of course don't, I just learned about it today, you can use any other oracle card deck, or you can use tarot. If you don't even have that, or you don't feel it, I think it's okay to skip it, just to focus on receiving information from your environment and universe. But that would be the second part. So it would be important to pick up a card every holy night and then just note down what the card was, because this could be some sort of a suggestion for you once you are in August and you open up, you know, what was the card back then on the 31st, let's say, because that I think that would be August. And it's really interesting because you can get a clue from that on what to do. And then there is the second part. There is a receiving part, and then there is a co-creation part. And that is something that I already mentioned, doing small steps for those dreams, intentions, or things that you want to achieve to come true. For example, although the process starts officially on 24th, I decided to do my preparation and to record and release the episode today. Why? Because I want to podcast more in 2025. That's one of my number ones. Okay, how many number ones can you have? Trust me, if you are me, probably you have 20 number ones. So sorry for that. But okay, that's one of my priorities, to actually produce more podcasts, record more regularly. So that's why I decided on this very special winter solstice day to actually record an episode and release it symbolically. So I am also giving a sign to myself and everything and everyone around. I am committing to this. I am putting that one little brick into my dream of podcasting more. So that's something that would be quite intense, I would say. You would have to commit to this. But I think it's a very interesting and magical experiment. And because we in Women's Circle Institute call ourselves Institute, it's not because we are mental and we need to be in the institution, although we are mental and maybe we would be sent to an institution 100 years ago. But the idea for the Institute in Women's Circle naming was that we would actually conduct certain experiments. We would try to play with different methods of self-development or spirituality and see if it actually works. And that's why I also want to start this by trying out this method, this 13 holy nights. I actually want to see if it works and will it bring some benefits. So again, please, if you are interested, click on the link in the description of this episode. Listen to Lana Day, how she describes her holy nights method. I don't know how else to call it, spiritual journey, manifestation journey, alignment, mindfulness, light celebration, New Year preparation. See, I actually can come up with many, but I came up with method for some reason. I would really recommend you to read it. And yes, it is 21st and it's already late, but it doesn't matter because you can literally start tomorrow because the first 3 days are preparation. All right, number two, as an alternative to the New Year's resolution is something that I have actually tried and I have done for several years and I love it and I can vouch for it. And that is writing a letter to your future self. And I know I'm not the only one. I also know that I didn't start this trend or movement, although the first letter to myself I wrote 8 years ago. So it's gonna be soon close to a decade when I actually am practicing this. And I would truly recommend you to try. If the first idea of 13 holy nights seems too overwhelming for you, but you still want to do something, this is great. And you can write a letter to your future self either today on 21st on the winter solstice when the light is winning over the darkness. You can do it on the 24th, which is also a magical day because this is the first time when from our perspective the sun actually changes the position on the horizon. Or you can do it on 31st of December because it's simply a potent day due to our collective belief in that day. So you can choose a day. You can also do it in parts. You can start on 24th or 27th and finish by the 1st, depending what kind of letter you want to write. My letter usually has between 6 to 12 pages, depending on the year. And the first time I tried it was 2016. I was just entering 2017. And it was because I've heard somewhere or read somewhere on internet about a woman who did that and then things that were described in a letter manifested. So I can share with you that 2016 was not the year when I was super happy. I was going through a very difficult situation at work where I pretty much lost any motivation to keep on going. And I simply didn't want it to go to the office anymore. I didn't want it to be in that company. I didn't want it to be under that management. I was extremely demotivated and close to a burnout. So the main topic of my letter was, of course, because in my letter, what I do is, Dear Anna, from 2017, this is how I'm ending up the year. I literally start like this. I address myself, the one that will be 1 year older / wiser. And I described, this is where I am right now. This is what happened in 2016. And I described everything about my work. I described everything about my personal life. I described my struggles with being a mom. I described my financial situation. And I also was entangled in a very stupid relationship with a man that I shouldn't have been. And that situation was actually weighing me down because I already knew and realized that this was a one big stupid mistake, but I couldn't untangle myself. So all of this was described. And then in the second part of the letter, I kind of wrote what I would like to change. I don't want to work there anymore. It literally is eating my soul. I want to get disconnected from that residue of the relationship I had. I want this to stop bothering me and still kind of feeling like it lingers around me. I want this. I want this. I want this. I wrote the letter. It's very, very long. And then I remember I bought somewhere in this kind of $5 store. I'm trying to use a universal name. I bought kind of like a bottle with a cork. So I roll this letter in. I put it there. I close it with a cork and then I hide it somewhere. And the kind of the idea is that you don't read that letter until the end of the next year. So you literally don't go into that letter. You don't kind of check if things are happening. None of this. The funny thing is that when you open that letter a year later, you don't remember anything you wrote. It's so funny because the whole year passed, so a lot of things changed in your life and yada, yada, yada. So you don't remember what you wanted. You don't remember where you've been. And I opened that letter and I was absolutely shocked when I read it, because just 3 weeks before, on 6th of December 2017, I got laid off from that work I hated, because we had finally made the big reorg and my whole department ceased to exist. We were all let go of, but of course I got a very nice severance, you know, the goodbye package. So I got a garden leave. I didn't have to go to work, but I was getting my salary for the next half a year as a compensation. You know how it is. I would never quit my job because at that point I was a single mom and I was absolutely terrified to quit my job while having a child and being a single provider. But it's almost like universe was like, we have 3 weeks till the end of the year. You wanted this. We have to figure something out. Massive layoffs. You are released from your job. And it's so funny because it really was like, you know, it's the final countdown. There is only 3 weeks left and I got fired. And the funny thing is that kind of at the same point, I was able to re-enter a situation with that gentleman that I didn't wanted to have anything to do with, which only confirmed to me, oh my God, this is absolutely like, just forget about it, you know? And that actually allowed me to completely cut off that part of my romantic life. And like literally weeks later, I met my current partner because I was all the time mentally entangled with that other guy. And it happened also in December. So it almost looked like, all right, if you are not doing it yourself, we need to speed up things a little bit. So the universe or whatever that was sped up things. So my shock reading this letter, you know, okay, yeah, this actually happened, this happened. So I can vouch for this method. I don't know what it is. And it's funny that you don't really look into that. So there is so many surprises, so many kind of shocking things that can happen. And it was extremely eerie that most of the things I wanted happen, and they happen almost at the end of the year, like something was pressing, you know, the whole situation. Come on. We need to speed up because the year is closing. So that is something I 100% recommend to you to try. I am going to do it regardless of 13 holy nights because, you know, one thing doesn't exclude another. It just can be done. So absolutely recommendable. Number three is something that I tried only twice. And for some reason, I just felt like I was overloaded with too many rituals because I was doing the letter to myself. But this could be a little bit more appropriate for those of you who really want to let go of some things and leave them in the year that is passing. And that is the letting go ritual. And it's very simple, and you should actually follow your heart and your instinct and also your circumstances how to do it. Again, 24th would be great, 31st, probably even better. So instead of maybe going to a party and trying to get trying to enter the best party ever, like, don't you also have the same, like, this evening is so pumped up that people have this huge expectation and they usually end up on a lame or just lukewarm medium party. It's so weird. But let's come back to the point, to the topic. If you are for a very quiet 31st, you actually maybe even want to make a women's circle on the 31st to meet up even in a daytime and do this ritual. That would be something really, really great. So what you can do, be it a solo or a group activity, doesn't matter. You can write down on the pieces of paper, and here the recommendation is to either find a red paper or write with a red pen all the things that you want to leave behind, all the things you would like to leave in 2024. It can be one thing, it can be 10. It can be something like cutting off a toxic relation. It can be something like letting go of limiting beliefs or letting go of a toxicity at workplace. Or it can be even something really, really, you know, simple and, or plain, like, you know, not spending so much time, letting go of your phone or and digital time. Whatever you have, it can be one, it can be 10, it can be 20, whatever you have, you write it down. And you don't have to write a letter, you can just use keywords, because you have to understand what it is. And there are two ways that I have been doing that, and that depends if you want to work with the fire element or with the water element. With a fire, it's very simple. You basically think, you write everything down, and you can do it with, you know, by the candlelight and with some nice music. You write down everything you want to let go of, and then you say, thank you for the lessons. I release you now, and I leave you behind. And you can burn it. If you have a fireplace, awesome. If you don't have a fireplace, anything that can be used for safely burning paper. I know a person who once used a grill, a barbecue, went outside and started barbecue and burned it there. If you try to do it at home, make sure that you have something that contains well, you know, burnt paper, so you won't, you know, accidentally burn your home on 31st. I know it's very bright and fireworks and stuff, but let's not overreact. So please do it safely. And burning it off. If it's a fireplace, of course, the ashes are going to stay in a fireplace. Some people like to spread the ashes outside. You can also dig a hole and put the ashes there. I'm not doing that much of it. When I did it once, I just burned it. And then I flushed the ashes in a toilet, because I was living in an apartment building and it was a lot of snow, and it would be really weird if I would suddenly start to, you know, put black ashes everywhere. My neighbors would probably think I had too much of alcohol already on the 31st. Flushing with the toilet, it's fine, because actually toilet is symbolic for flushing things. And the other time I tried it actually by releasing it to the water, to the sea. That was at the time when I was maybe not that environmentally conscious. So I don't really recommend to do it with the paper. But I did it, actually. I did it. So yeah, crucify me if you think that was very bad, but I didn't know any better. And I actually did it at that point with my mother and with my daughter. We went to the harbor in a city where I was living at the time. There were fireworks, and we prepared home all the things we want to let go of and leave in the past. And we just, you know, put them in a sea. But now when I think about the amount of fireworks that ended up at the harbor, maybe we didn't contribute that much to the dirtiness of the marina. But there is a great alternative. You can use leaves. You can use leaves, dry leaves that you can maybe still find outside, or you can even use leaves from evergreen shrubs or bushes. And just look around and see if you can find something, and then you can write the keywords on the leaves. And then I think it's very, very safe to just release it to the river or to the sea. So this is a very nice ritual that focuses more about letting go rather than manifesting or doing resolutions. But think about it in this way: whatever you let go of releases the place for something new. So it is in a way helping you to manifest something new, because the space is getting bigger in your life for wonderful things to come in. So that was my alternative number three. Alternative number four is something that I also try to do quite often. Instead of starting with the New Year's resolutions, meaning sitting on the 1st of December or 31st and writing them down and trying to just implement them, I usually think about all the things I would like to attract into my life. And I try to have a little element of each of those things done within the first day of the year. So, for example, if I want to cook more homemade meals, I will make sure that I will cook one homemade meal on the 1st of January. If I want to read more books, I will make sure that I will at least find 5 or 10 minutes, if not longer, to read a book. If I want to exercise, I will do even 3 squats, or I don't know, I will even take a walk just to initiate it. So basically, it's not about, you know, filling your day from morning to evening and just doing everything that you, it's just doing symbolic gestures towards the goals that you want to achieve, towards the things you want to do in the new year. So whatever that is, and it can be as simple as doing something for a minute, just to kind of, you know, put a mark, put a step. I did it. That's how I want to live this year. And I will tell you something interesting. This is actually how my astrology study started. I think it was first of January 2021. And I remember I had this feeling and this kind of desire or wish to start getting deeper into astrology. And I spent good chunk of 1st of January 2021 listening to one of the best astrology podcasts out there, that is called Astrology Podcast. Literally, that's how it's called. And I think I was either listening to Introduction to Zodiac Signs or Introduction to 12 Houses. And I remember I enjoyed it so much and I started to make notes and other things. And that was my first big chunk of my 1st of January. And that was the year when I accelerated my self-study for astrology. And that's something that I still want to cultivate, because I think it stopped here and there, but I want to do it more and more. So that would be definitely something I would recommend, because it kind of worked for me with, especially with astrology. I remember when we moved to the house in 22, I made a homemade soup for dinner for all of us. And I remember that I was actually complaining to myself before that, you know, I should do more homemade meals, because I love to cook actually. And that was the year when I really came back to cooking mostly at home, not having any, you know, takeaways, or not having any frozen pre-prepared things, just cooking at home. So that was absolutely lovely. And that worked for me. So I highly recommend. And the fifth thing, and sorry, before I jump to the fifth thing, a very good potent day for that is also the 24th of December. And there is something extremely strange now around that date that I'm realizing. So as you heard before about the Holy Nights, you actually start on 24th with this both receiving and co-creation, and the 24th sundown symbolizes the whole next year. And I realized today when I was listening to this podcast that my mother always told me the way the Christmas Eve is, the next year is gonna be. And I didn't know where she took it from, never asked her. And I know that this is how it was in our family. People were putting more attention on how 24th looks like for them and what they do in 24th rather than 31st. That's really strange. I don't know where it came from. I don't think it was only limited to my family. Probably this is something that in Poland is believed by many. But I remember that my mother was putting an extra attention that the whole house is clean for the 24th, that there is a, a beautiful table, there is a very clean tablecloth, that she actually is dressed very nice. She was putting makeup, making her hair. And that was weird for me because a lot of our Christmas Eves were only the two of us. So who was she doing that for? But she was always saying, the way the 24th is, the rest of the year is. And I have to say that now it makes even more sense when I'm starting to listen about the 13 holy nights and that other people consider this as a very potent day. So you have an alternative. You can choose 1st of January to do those little pieces and bits of things you want to do in the next year, but you can also use 24th for that. Of course, it's sometimes a little bit more difficult because many times it's actually a family gathering and a lot of preparations, but try if it resonates with you. I know I will. And the fifth thing I wanted to share with you, and just not to prolong it too much, I actually am doing something myself. This is something I'm trying, and I will tell you how it went. So maybe I can just invite you to join me on this journey, and you can do it by following me on Instagram at flowing at the sky clock. I am actually planning to create a little pieces of art, like, maybe a drawing. Or maybe I'm also going to experiment with the junk art to create a little visual representations of the things I want to attract in 2025. So, for example, I would like to work a little bit more on my podcasting. So maybe I will create something like a little picture or drawing or something of this kind with a microphone. And then I will jump to the next thing. And I think I was planning to do 12 of those things, but now after the 13 holy nights, maybe I will do more. But those would be like that kind of manifestation stamps, things that are just capturing that idea I have and just putting it into an art format and then keep it for myself. Maybe hang it as a sort of a visualization board, although it's not going to be a board. There's going to be little elements, and I think I will experiment both with a drawing, with painting, with the junk art, whatever will come to my mind to kind of give life to my dream or my intention by making it real through art. And if you are a person who draws, who paints, who makes sculptures, whatever you are doing, I would recommend you to try that because it really is creating that thing into a reality. So that's something I'm going to try this year along 13 holy nights. As you can see, it's super ambitious. So I'm not promising even to myself that I'm gonna make it, but I want to give it a go and I will give it my best go. So let's see how it will go. We are now going to almost a 50 minutes mark. So I would like to wish you a very happy, mindful winter solstice to remind you that the light is winning over the dark, and that we are going to get more and more light and more warmth within us and from around. You will feel it, and not only because of Christmas. If you have any questions, you can always contact me at flowing at the sky clock, flowing with the sky clock at gmail.com, Women's Circle Institute at gmail.com, or you can directly make a comment under the podcast episode, especially if you are listening on Spotify. You literally can just comment as you listen. It's a very cool feature. I like it. I actually used it for another podcast. So that's cool. I'm going to be checking that. And I am very curious about your ways of bringing something new into the next year. I wonder if any of the things that I discussed here resonated with you. And I hope that if you were looking for an alternative to the New Year's resolutions, something here inspired you to try another way. Or maybe you just came up with something completely new, but I said something that just gave you an idea, and I would love to hear about all of that. Special greetings to Marta, who inspired me to try 13 Holy Nights, and also indirectly caused me to record this episode, because according to 13 Holy Nights, I should do something, prepare myself for manifest the things I want. And that's why this podcast is recorded on the winter solstice. Take care, everyone. And I hope to hear from you. And I hope that you will share your experiences with you, all right? With me, not with you, with you, of course, with me, please, with me. And we will hear each other next time.